August 29 is Michael Jackson's birthday, and if he were still alive, he would have been 64 years old, inspiring artists like Bruno Mars, Justin Bieber, and everyone to come together and put their souls into their craft. Michael wasn't just an artist. He was a cool kid that was officially crowned King Sanui of Africa. He patented his anti-gravity shoes and bought publishing rights to the Beatles. Also, he created a romantic relationship, but in real life, has a reserved, shy personality. Made it awkward for him, as he's always going to be labeled King of Pop. As he became more reserved, with crazy fans being real-life Billie Jean's, fake pregnancy rumors, and pressuring him to make more shows, more music, and more money to their record, that he felt troubled sleeping. Triumphant against all odds, even if Michael died when he was 50 years old, he is still the number 67 most listened to artist in the world today, with 32.2 million fans in the world listening to his music every month on Spotify alone. He is still a legend. Remember that 13 years ago, he died from cardiac arrest on June 25, 2009. After his passing, all his fans missed him. But now, I wish for everyone and the Jackson family to remember Michael loved them. He loves his family so much, and we support the Jacksons for honoring his legacy, teaching us that the most important thing is to create and to guide people with comfort, dream, and believe in God. No matter what people tell you or how much you suffered, never harden your heart. Continue to live and do your best. Hi Tigers, I'm Scuds. Welcome back to the So Odd with Scuds show. And I believe when you're alone, be compassionate to yourself, because you made yourself important. In this episode, we're going to learn from the King of Pop's life. Even if show business is crazy, he was a sensitive and caring soul. Michael was also susceptible to getting hurt, even if it was years ago, from his autobiography Moonwalk, and encouragement from his family and friends. At this moment, we're learning from a genius like Michael, but also being guided that family, health, and personal life are important too. Let's begin the show! This episode is dedicated to Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. Number 1, God's Gift. Michael Jackson believed that no one ever forced him to be in show business. Even if he was encouraged by his parents to show off his talent, he started rehearsing when he was 5 years old, and finally joined his brothers in many talent shows. And note, he wasn't forced, it's because he wanted to. Michael shared he doesn't remember when he started to sing or dance. He can't remember everything from his childhood. He was a little kid. But he does remember, after school, they were disciplined by his father, Joe Jackson, to continue being a straight-A student, or else he would get beaten. Continue to be disciplined by singing and dancing to the point sometimes it'd be near midnight. He was still consistent to show up to rehearsals. Every weekday were rehearsals. And one day when he was in his first grade, Michael participated in a program where the school heard him sing Climb Every Mountain from The Sound of Music. He wore black pants and just a white shirt. And after his performance, he was shocked. How come people were crying and giving him a standing ovation? And how come his teachers were full of tears? By the way, he's a ladies' man. You know what I'm saying? He's still a kid and he's a ladies' man. So he cared more about his female teachers than the males. Ladies should always be treated right in his eyes, and the fact that he made people happy made him happier. He doesn't know, though, what makes him special, but people kept affirming his talent, and he also believes in himself, especially his mom. His mom said, "This is your gift, Michael. And you owe it to God to let people know about your gift. God was always part of Jackson's household. They were Jehovah's Witnesses, and as kids believed, you need to preach your faith. So Michael always talked with God, even after he departed from being a Jehovah's Witness. And there were rumors that he was about to convert to Islam, but his kids are still Jehovah's Witnesses themselves. But regardless of people's religion, for him to be given talent, opportunities, and a loving family, he prayed he'd never stray from God's path. He continues to be creative and spiritual when he talks with God. Number two, thank you, Dad. What he got from his father was physical beating whenever he wouldn't listen to his dad. Never physical punches, but with a belt, and Michael would be scared of his father. Michael mentions it's not God-given what his dad did, but rather than trying to complain more about the physical abuse, he understood his father. The message became clear, as Michael still stayed in his parents' house until he was 30 years old, and his career choices, his parents would know about it. But he had the ambition to create a big home, Neverland, and be the opposite of the physical abuser he experienced from his dad. Since he was a child, his dad was not giving him self-assurance. He was testing Michael and his brothers. He believes, so what if you have every talent in the world? But if you don't prepare and plan, how are you going to be professional? How are you going to survive reality? His dad used to be in a band called Falcons, but because the family's talent got bigger, he spends less time with the Falcons to prepare the Jacksons for live shows. His mom and dad would fight that the money would be spent on the band's equipment and accessories, and they only had a small budget left. Yet his father would persuade his mother to spend it more on the band till their living room looked like a music store. It was just full of stuff. And his father would tell them, blood, sweat, and tears, boys. If you want to be the best, blood, sweat, and tears. That sounds harsh, but that's their father. So the Jackson family honed their talent, even if neighbors would throw rocks at their window. And so what, you know, they continue to practice, join talent shows, and you just can't sing. You have to perform live your own songs. So they eyed, even as a little kid, to be signed by a record label. As a kid, this was weird, and even Michael questioned seeing boobs flying and dancers nearly naked when he was little. His mother, Catherine Jackson, would be stressed with the band's long hour rehearsals and shows. But she also knew that the Jackson 5 wanted to be the best, and this was no time to be comfortable. If they really loved music, they even shouted, "All for one, one for all," just like the Musketeers. Because of his father, Michael always trained his God-given talent and strayed from gangs, drugs, and alcohol, violence, and crazy fans that would pop out of nowhere and be like, "Ta-da! I'm crazy about you!" And he wouldn't entertain them. It was better to be disciplined also in your lifestyle and show up to practice, even if you'd be criticized, tired, or, you know, you hate the reviews given by his own dad and teammates, but it was better than silence. For him, faith wasn't through empty words and promises, but by fulfilling them in his perfectionist streak. Everything had to be perfect. He learned from his father that music brought people together. Tell them what you believe in, show them what you want, and that God will provide the rest. Number three, sky is the limit. Michael hated to be ignored, or in this case, not winning awards. Even if people believe he is great, he didn't want to settle to accept his current performance. So, meaning He always wanted to make things better and make everything feel like the sky is the limit. But for him, the sky doesn't have to be blue. He actually said this. It means accepting people for who they are, not because of who they perceive him to be or want him to be. And I was like, what does this have to do with the sky being not blue? So it means to say that there are times he's very poetic. And he means he actually likes the color sunset. He mentions that he wanted people to love him for him and not because he is king of pop. You see, he'd walk up to someone and ask them, would you be my friend? But they scream, oh my God, it's Michael Jackson! And he wishes someday just to be an ordinary person. During the Off the Wall album, he says this was one of the most difficult periods of his life. We'll mention more of Michael's relationship in the next notes to come. His first album, Off the Wall, was well received by his fans. Oh my gosh, Michael, that was a good album. But you know what? Michael was upset. He only got a Grammy nomination for Best R&B Vocals and he felt ignored. He says, that experience lit a fire in my soul. He wanted to win, receive awards, and good reviews by the press. He realized if he could sell almost 6 million off-the-wall copies in America, he could sell even more if he got better and became a global star. That's a perfectionist mindset, and Michael even confirms he'll work until he drops. It was in his nature to produce even a bigger record called Thriller. This time, he didn't want to go small when he made Thriller. Quincy Jones and Rod Temperton, his music producers at that time, told Michael that he may be gambling. One of them said, if this album doesn't do as well as Off the Wall, will you be disappointed? Michael was upset that his ambition was questioned. How could they? He told them, it has to be better. He even wanted it to be the biggest selling album of all time. They said this was an unrealistic expectation and they started laughing. Ha 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 ha. But Michael believes they were powerful, but we don't use our minds to the full capacity. He believes if he must explain many times to his crew what he wants, he also had to believe in himself and his ambitions. It's not just from trying. He had a great team, lots of talent, and good ideas that would make art come together. He kept affirming his crew were going to practice, sing, rehearse till everything is right. So he kept affirming his team, motivating them, Thriller is gonna be lit. And so, because he wanted that, he worked on that. They worked 18 hours a day, sometimes just sleeping on the couch. And just because he said it's good, Quincy now said to him, it sounds good. Could you do another take, Mike? Michael Jackson would be happy, but tired, saying, okay, I'll sing again. It was rehearsal every day with also unexpected twists. Even if they were pressed with time, they worked. Michael was the artist giving the songs, but Quincy and Temperton worked to level up the songs to the highest potential. So people around Michael started to work with him earlier on and realized this kid was not going to give up on his mindset and dreams and be like, become the biggest world-selling album of all time. Yeah, right. But even if the crew are more experienced people in the industry, they also needed to listen to his voice and values. He even shares, I really put my soul into it. I died for it. That's how I am. So even if you work with the king of pop or be like him, it's going to be tiring and 100% dedication. So ta-ta-da-da, Thriller became a huge success. It did become the biggest selling album of all time. And now Thriller has sold 51 million copies worldwide, and it appears on the cover of the Guinness Book of World Records. That's when Michael knew his dreams were becoming a reality. Number 4, Human Nature. So when you perform, you may not have control over what people think of you, but you just open your mouth and sing. People are in awe of Michael's talent, and he would have fun from his soul, and you could tell. Just when the beat comes in, sometimes he'd feel a costume would also help him. He even explained to Oprah when Oprah asked, "How come you thrust your crotch and pelvis to the audience?" It sounds like he's sexually inviting people, but he laughed in his interview. "No, it's the beat, it's the music." He shares he's just the vessel for those songs, but he's expressing those songs visually. And as an artist, your body can do the moves, but you also create the mood to invite the audience to another world. So when people see you on stage, you gotta look amazing. You sometimes forget you're shy or insecure and become an actor. Michael's famous costume is mirrored sunglasses, a black fedora hat, a single white sequin glove, sparkly white socks, shiny black shoes, ankle-length pants, and lastly, a military or red leather jacket with zippers. So these costumes came from many of his idols he saw when he was a kid. But for him, it meant also that you evolved with your style and your music. You must feel your way into them rather than trying to follow somebody else. He learned as a kid that other performers would be on stage before or after him. And the Jackson 5 performance, he would just watch his idols on stage and observe their costumes, lights, and how they direct sets to change the audience mood. He likes James Brown's dancing, which was wild and animal. And he would just be spinning fast, then smoothly going back to step to another beat. He also likes Jackie Wilson's shiny black leather shoes because they'd sparkle by the stage lights. And he was a fan of horror and cinema, that he'd create music videos that were like short films. He even got to hire Martin Scorsese for the Bad music video. John Landis directed Thriller, and even added prosthetics and special effects to the music industry and his concerts. Now, this seems expensive, and Michael does indulge in expensive tastes. But when he started, he would take one of these costumes from his previous idols, like the spy hat, and start posing and stepping as if he was already on stage. His true genius was learning from previous people. Good observation skills, he really wanted to keep learning and adding his own styles to make it his own. He focuses more on showmanship, meaning songs not only for camping and like, let's sing all together, but also imagine songs from the classics to metal rock beats that were theatrical, poetic, and to be performed on stage or in a concert. In 1982, the Motown 25th anniversary show was scheduled to be taped. So all the records to be sung came from Motown records like Jackson 5, I'll Be There. Except Michael this time was signed to a new record company, Epic Records. And he really wanted to perform his new song, Billie Jean. Motown allowed him to perform with his brothers first all the Jackson 5 songs. And then he could sing Billie Jean's last. The Motown 25th show aired and popularized not only all of the Jackson 5's songs, but also Michael Jackson's first moonwalk. He has been practicing the moonwalk for a while now, and this was done in his parents' house. Moonwalk is from the times Michael observes black kids in the ghetto going to do a break dance, and they call this popping. Moonwalk's inspo came from his roots, the African Americans. and he believes Black people are truly innovative dancers, especially creating new dance moves that were pure and simple. Three kids were able to teach him the moonwalk and blended to create new sidesteps that he has been practicing in private. Michael loved being Black, and even if his skin changed, he always mentioned, "I love being a Black American." So the next day, Fred Astaire called him on the phone, and if you don't know who Fred Astaire is, he's the most celebrated American dancer in Hollywood's golden age. And he told Michael on the phone, "You're a hell of a mover. Man, you really put them on their asses last night." He continued, "I watched the show. I taped it and watched it again this morning. You're a hell of a mover." And for Michael, receiving compliments from Thug Fred Astaire and people from the world of dance is the greatest compliment he received in his life. And when little kids are honest and tell him he's amazing, he continues even to be a greater role model. Trying to hide the insults he feels from his father abusing him with a belt and calling him, "You're a big nose." And yes, he'd still be belt even when he was already near 30s. So it was harder now to separate his artistry and personal life because Michael would deny his plastic surgery. You know, he also went to rehab for becoming dependent on his painkiller Demerol. But he wanted to further look like nothing of his dad and not worry people about his health. That was also human nature of him, that as people were looking up to him, crazy fans were born, and deep down, he still felt he was never good enough. Number 5, eccentric master. Michael is known for playing pranks. He laughs and he loves being playful with kids. You know, in the studio, Michael was also known as a weirdo, and people didn't always get his jokes. But he had to be professional and not show this when he was acting in films or on stage. Even during the rehearsal for the Wizard of Oz movie, when Michael was still a teenager, he was to star as the Scarecrow. And he made his other co-stars jealous of his fame and how fast he'd learned to dance. He also knew that by being different, they weren't going to help him. And emphasize even more, "Michael, you and I are too different." So yeah, he understood that people only talk to him on what are his techniques for work, rather than truly being his friend when he wanted to make jokes. Either because he pays them or wants them to know more. You know, Michael thanked them. He was aware of the loneliness he'll face going solo and staying creative, even with his trauma in his house. To tell people his thoughts on politics, morals, and virtues, he decided he'd rather show them through his music when the right time comes. As he got pressed more to give music to fans, this time it wasn't through pop dance songs, but through business as well. When the opportunity for the perfect storm arises, he shaded things and people through his music. You'll hear songs from Michael such as "They Don't Care About Us" to share how artists, especially Black artists, are not given protection and are abused by companies to take their money. They call this professional slavery, hiring artists but leaving them poor or unpaid while taking credit for their works. Black or White echoed how Michael feels about racism in society and people of different colors and religions, including Muslims, are not violent people. Heal the World shows a film in his music video on how people, especially politicians and businessmen, are abusing Mother Earth till everything could be destroyed. His enemy list, including Sony CEO Tommy Mottola, Jewish Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, illusionist Uri Geller, and attorney Tom Sneddon. He claims that these people only wanted to use him as a money machine rather than respecting his welfare. The most obvious diss track Michael ever made, and this is for me, was DS, where DS means Dom Sheldon. The lyrics were to attack attorney Tom Sneddon for pressing charges that he is a child molester. Some of his best friends even went to the press that he needed to stop molesting children. Well, they're not best friends anymore. When the police raided his home and even placed hidden cameras, they didn't find any evidence that Jackson is guilty. He and his kids had to go away from Neverland. Michael started losing money from taking time off to rest, and he never recovered mentally from the distress of people and let him down. Cameras everywhere and feeling like he couldn't protect the people he loves because he'd feel something bad would happen to him. He actually paid around $20 million for his child molestation cases. Now, this looks like a spiral bad ending for Michael Jackson. Some people until now believes that Michael really did molest children, and he was haunted by this throughout his life, sobbing in front of his family. Look at me. Look at me. I'm the most misunderstood person in the world. He breaks down. He feels shameful for trusting people. But his eccentric laughter, even if he had little friends now, people would break him. But he also realized he never expected his fans all the way supported that Michael is innocent, including most of the convicted kids shared Michael never violated them. His family, especially his dad, was there for him during his sexual assault charges. His father, Joe Jackson, stays loyal and believes Michael is innocent. I like to emphasize that all bad things could take time to heal, but love is so powerful. Michael knew that. If people are there for you in your worst, just like his family, friends, and fans, they don't want to make things harder. Even if you feel, Tiger, that you're listening to this and you realize that the world has shut down and you are undeserving of anything because you are destroyed, your reputation is destroyed, people will still love you for no damn reason. And that's not weird. That's the truth. You see, when you love someone, you also are compassionate to try and love yourself at your worst. You may not know how come they love you, but you also want to see that you're a good person as well. Just like Michael, fame and fortune and betrayal from others, that didn't change his soul. And Michael knew it. You could still give kindness and make art. The only thing you could change is really yourself, that man in the mirror. And once you do that, you get healed and you want to protect children and the future generation because you made it a better place. As you can see, even if Michael Jackson was tired, he knew that music would always call him back. Number 6. You are not alone. Sadly, this is the last thing I'll share, Tigers, because there's always this, what if we could have done better? What if we didn't make mistakes and warned Michael about his health and his reaction when he was dealing with stress? Would he still be alive? Jermaine Jackson and many of Michael's loved ones wish they could have saved him, including his fans. They gave Michael fan mails and he loves reading them. And they observed, Michael isn't well. He doesn't look well. Even Kenny Ortega, director of This Is It documentary, mentioned that Michael was not good for that concert. He was looking pale, and he even mentions that God was talking to him, and that they could postpone this so that Michael can focus in his health, including Bill Whitfield and Javen Beard, Michael Jackson's personal bodyguards and two closest allies, mentioned that Michael Jackson died from too much stress. Remembering the child abuse allegations and family feuds when it came to money, and knowing his new agency would control who came to see him and his schedule. He wanted his two personal bodyguards to stay by his side and protect his children. But the back of Michael Jackson's head is that, how can he afford to pay for his bodyguards, provide for his children, and get back to his Neverland real estate if he has no money? Everything he was earning was provided by his company, and he'll owe them back the money after This Is It concert. How will he be able to retire from show business? At that time, Michael was already in a $500 million debt from overspending in his career. He'd be tired of performing every single day, and he already had a permanent back injury. He has insomnia, and he wasn't getting younger anymore. Some fans gave his staff mails, wishing they would let Jackson see a doctor or postpone the concert for Michael to rest. They felt something is wrong. Almost everyone continued to let that happen because Michael owed people money. He even says, money is the root cause of evil. So even Tommy Mottola, Sony CEO, is his enemy, and he actually has now beef with Quincy Jones and Paul McCartney for how Michael's music is not paying them the right amount. They weren't a yes man to Michael's addiction and would call him out to stop the plastic surgeries, medicines, and unrestrained spending. This never got him to hear what people were thinking, including their worries. And it was easier for him to go back to his old habits, the pills and painkillers. He chose propanol and seek doctors to administer anesthesia to him every night so that he could sleep. Even his on and off friend, Dr. Deepak Chopra, refused to give him prescriptions, and Michael could learn meditation, heal his spirit, and embrace pain as temporary. Yet, sometimes we're unsure, not expressive, and take things for granted because it's so much easier to just bury the pain and deal with it next time. The odds are impossible that anyone could predict if Michael could have survived from addiction and stress. Who knows, right? So if things were handled differently? Many critics believe that Michael is better off dead than alive, since he is still the number one richest earning dead artist. But this is a part where we honor Michael Jackson. You see, I had a friend who died from leukemia. She relapsed and died from it. And before her death, I remember it was Christmas. She bought me a Michael Jackson CD as a gift. And she says, she never thought that meant much to me. She listens to his songs too. And suddenly my friend came to my mind when I also think about Michael Jackson. She was always smiling and telling people she'll make it and survive cancer when she was in pain from the treatment. Her family didn't know how to pay the bills. And I don't know what was happening that Michael Jackson was suffering internally, but I knew these two people were innocent and pure to still connect with someone by smiling at them. Most people may know him as the King of Pop, but he was a wonderful human being that's still my idol today, and I'm sure with to everyone else. And his music is well deserved to still be listened to. He inspires me and everyone to think of the less fortunate and children and connect with people through arts.
I agree when Jermaine Jackson mentioned that the legacy of Michael Jackson is to never let anyone feel alone.
You're going to comfort and touch people with the stuff that is meaningful in your life. Michael Jackson's last words from his autobiography, Moonwalk: this is art in its highest form. Those moments of enlightenment are what I continue to live for. And he brought this through his songs and music and stage and everything else he made. He wanted to let people know
this is what is meaningful in his life. From Michael Jackson. Rest in peace, King of Pop. And to all Tigers, I hope you can continue to listen to Michael Jackson and support Jackson's family causes in connecting the world with their talent and lessons. I'm Scuzz. This is a So Odd with Scuzz show. And if you like more of these episodes, subscribe and follow us on your favorite music app, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to check out the next episodes to come. And we love receiving your messages and review. Shout out to Rajiv for mentioning he is a fan of Michael Jackson and so stoic that we made this episode. Check out the bonus episode and find out Michael Jackson's tip that his brother Jermaine Jackson uncovered was a habit of the King of Pop. Amping in my language means take care. So Tigers, see you next time and amping!